Praise and thanks be unto the Lord. We feel that God is nigh to us, that He speaks with us, and that our hearts react. There are people whose hearts do not have the answer to God's speaking, but blessed is he who still feels and goes with on the inside when God speaks. And it is written, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. What a grace and what a privilege that God still speaks with us. All of us would have run out of patience long ago, but God is gracious and merciful, long-suffering and of great kindness. He doesn't want that even one gets lost, but that all come to the knowledge of the truth, being prepared and behold His glory. The responsibility to have heard the Word of God is very great, very great. People who never heard the Word of God, and if they would not have reached the destination, they will not feel the pain as those who have often heard the Word of God. And I had to think about it, how everything has cooled down and became lukewarm and sluggish. Maybe I just feel that way. Maybe also others. But I can still remember times, if one has sung there, very soon, oh how nice, we will enter the pearly gates jubilating. Then the tears were rolling down. One was touched. It were not just words. The heart was also part of it. It was not just an idea, but an experience. An experience which connected us with God. Beloved, in this connection with God, we must return. The love of God must be manifested in the same measure at the end as it was manifested at the beginning. And our Lord said at that time, thereby all will know that you are my disciples, if ye have love for one another. A second thought, which is connected with it and came to me, was the following. If we could love from the heart, as some can hate with their heart, then we would already be helped. Sometimes one feels a direct hatred which gets worked up into infinity, into the impossible. Shouldn't it be possible that the love of God increases in us without your effort, without my effort, that it could be the love of God in your and in my heart? And as we emphasized very often, everything will have stopped one day. All gifts, all ministries, everything will have served its purpose. But after all, even after the end, one remains, and this is the love of God. And the love of God was manifested by redemption, by forgiveness, by grace. For God so much loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that all who believe on him should not perish but have eternal life. The love of God was not manifested in arguments, not by philosophy or theology, but personally, in person, it was manifested in Jesus Christ. Today, the love of the Redeemer shall be manifested in the redeemed. It is us who were touched by this love. It's us who were loved. And all this, we don't just have to know in theory. It must have become a firm part of our spiritual life. We most certainly don't come together to have a usual service. We are coming together to have an encounter with God. We want that he speaks with us, and we also want to have a conversation with him. What did we hear in the word of introduction? Where would be a God like you? God is holy. His word is holy. His ways are holy. Everything that has to do with God and comes from God can only be holy. And if we want to stand our ground before him, we also must be sanctified in the truth, not after your and my fashion, but as God has planned it. Everything what we can do will not stand its ground before him. It must be done divinely. Only then it can and will stand its ground before him. All our righteousness, which we bring him, which we could list and to which we could point to, is before him like a filthy rag. That's how it is written in the Word of God. We come to the Lord as we are, but we don't go from him as we came. After the encounter with the Lord, we have to become new creatures. And recently we looked somewhere at the word with Jacob. He wrestled with the Lord and he became an Israel. He not only had the name, he wrestled through, he penetrated. To him was given the victory from God. Beloved, we must wrestle through and we must penetrate to the assurance of faith, to the direct experience with God. Only a pious appearance or a believing face will not save anyone. We need the grace of God, and it is here for us today, for you and for me. God does wonders above in heaven and on earth beneath, and his way with his people is a holy way. This we recognized. His decisions, his commands, his statutes, his word, everything is holy. And God wants that we accept all this in the right attitude and reverence as holy, and accordingly coming into His presence. If we today, in the same attitude, come into the presence of God as people came in the past and ask God for something, then He must do the same with us, what He did in the past on them who came to Him. With God, there is no respect of persons. He is not subject to the changing of times. He is the same from eternity to eternity, highly praised and highly exalted. And nevertheless, He comes down to the dust from which you and I were made, and He makes then something out of us for the praise of His wonderful grace. Sometimes we could give up ourselves and say, we will not make it. But God cannot give us up. He made it already. It is finished. And it is written in Psalms 2, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth. It's a demand which God has made. When Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, all who would ever accept the redemption by faith, from God's side, they were taken away from Satan and from death. According to the scripture, we, from God's point of view, we were in Christ. We suffered with Him. We died with Him. We were crucified with Him. We were buried with Him. We rose with Him. And together with Him, we were placed in heavenly places. That we could just succeed by the help of God to accept these truths as divine realities, so that they could have an effect in our spiritual lives. I still have to remember last night, but I have here a few lines from our beloved brother Winkler. He gave it to our precious sister. And it says here, dear brother Frank, please pray also for me that I come to the bride of Christ, that I also get full of the Spirit. Thank you for it. Is this not all our prayer, the wish of all of us, to be part of it, not only have heard the word of God on earth, but to belong to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven, sons and daughters of God, who were ordained to see the glory of God. And we believe in it, that He will help us to reach this wonderful destination. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? How should He, who started, not also finish? He will do all this by grace. When Brother Pesal was reading of the power of God and briefly lined out that we don't have to bring any proof, because God has given the living proof, and he presents everyone as fools with their own theories, because the theory has nothing to do with the reality of God. Here it says, for instance, in Romans, in chapter 1, from verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shewed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. Already with a natural eye, one can see that all things which God has spoken became reality. He spoke and it happened. He commanded and it stood fast in heaven and on earth and in the sea. Everything happened as God said it. He spoke, "Let there be light," called the sun, "let it shine by day." And it happened, and it's even today like this. He spoke, "Let there be the moon and the stars, so that they illuminate the night." And it happened like this. Even today it is so, as he said it at that time. He spoke, "Let the waters be gathered, and the sea be made, and let the dry land come forth." He spoke, and it happened. He commanded, and it stood fast. The dry land was called earth. And he spoke, "Let the earth bring forth," and it brought forth. It even brings forth today, even among them who deny God, who don't want him to be true. But also this thought was so precious, which was expressed already in the word of introduction. God is not a thing which we make, which we carry. God is the one who made us and who carries us. Everything else are idols made by men from wood and stone and from their own imaginations. How grateful we can be that God has really revealed himself to us by his grace. Beloved, God wants that these things which were given to us in the second realm, in the spiritual realm, that they now come into the most inner part, namely into our soul, that we not only know it because we heard it, but that it becomes a part of our nature. Only in this way we can be transformed into the nature and into the image of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Only in this way we can let ourselves be placed into the body of the Lord, so that it can become functional. You all know, God has a mouth, God is alive, God can speak, God can write, God is the Almighty One, who revealed himself from the very beginning. But when he wants to speak and work on earth, then he needs a body. He needs something which is alive, and this can only be the Church of the Lord. And dear Brother Branham says, God revealed all his fullness in Christ, and Christ revealed all his fullness in and through the Church. This also agrees with that what we read in Colossians. I think it's in Colossians that we have all the fullness in him who is the head of all power and principality. Colossians chapter 2 from verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. Not only that all of the fullness of God was manifested bodily in Christ here on earth. This was the first. As second, this fullness of God shall be manifested in the Church which was purchased by Christ and thus becoming his body. And it says here so wonderfully, and ye are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Brother Guy Dutch, he read to us last night, and especially to our precious brother and sister who made the marriage covenant, he read of the battle from Ephesians 6. Let us, through this word, take the following divine note. Every principality and every power and might who may somewhere rule in the air is already submitted under Christ. I will make all enemies his footstool. Psalms 110. Already a prophecy from the Old Testament. If we, as the body of the Lord, receive this thought in us to our Lord, our head, Jesus Christ, everything is already submitted, and we are submitted to the head, and thus every power which was defeated by God must also be looked at by us as defeated. The battle which we have to fight must be a battle of faith, but the faith must not stand in front of the fight. It must have the overall view and know that on the cross of Calvary was not only a fight, but the victory was won, that our Lord not only died, but that he went down, but that he conquered death, the devil, and hell. Everything he defeated and conquered. And on the third day, he rose from the dead. This is very important, because if we would see ourselves before a huge battle, which should be still fighted about, where would we come to? No, as it was then with David, when the Philistines, with their Goliath, faced the people of Israel, they said, let one come forth, and then the decision shall be made. And there was fear among all the Israelites. And suddenly, David came, the son of the tribe of Jesse, or Isaac, whatever translation you may take. And he hears all these blasphemies, all these challenges, and he sees how all the knees are shaking, and he cannot stand it. The Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, comes upon him, and he says in his heart, this uncircumcised Philistine has no right to blaspheme the people of God, and by it mocking God. That's not how it works. He was just sent to look after his brothers. I know him of whom it is written, I will declare thy name to my brethren. The firstborn among many brethren. He came to us. We were facing powerless, the army of the enemy. The challenges gave us trouble. But there came one, the Son of David, our Lord and King, our Redeemer. And he knew that's not how it works. Here the account must be settled. Here it must be fighted. We were all defeated. We had no chance. But he came. He was not defeated. He was victorious. He died according to the body. But he was alive according to the Spirit. And he has given all of us the victory. It is just necessary that we see these things in the divine sequence and also in this order in which they were left unto us. Otherwise, we don't understand what is written in 1 John 5, in verse 4. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. This is one of the most mightiest words. But it must be understood from the divine point of view. Only in this way it can become a living reality in us. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. But our faith is not separated from God or from the redemption or from that what happened. Our faith is bound to God, bound to God's word, to the work of redemption. And therefore is our faith, which is a faith according to the scripture, is at the same time the victory through which the world was overcome already. Not just will be overcome, but it was overcome. When did this take place? On the cross of Calvary. When does it take place in your life? When you, by divine revelation, under the sound of the word of the divine message, can receive that this happened for me. There the Lord has taken my place. And there he dealt with Satan and with all the power from hell and has won the victory. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. How does our faith look like? Upon what is it grounded? It is grounded on the Word of God. It is finished. That's how our Lord cried out on the cross of Calvary. And if we believe that it is finished, then we cannot do otherwise, but that this victory power of God is manifested, which was manifested on the cross of Calvary and by the resurrection, that it is also manifested in our life. This is the connection to this word here from Colossians 2 from verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. If we take this word seriously, and this we must take it seriously, then we are helped. We can also read together from verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. It was not a victory by the skin of one's teeth, not a win by a narrow margin. It was a full victory, a total victory, a victory of God. There's only one who is almighty. Only one who speaks the last word. Only one to whom is given all the power in heaven and on earth. And this is our Lord, whom we want to see glorified in the church. And we must have the right attitude toward him and his word, and know for what God has ordained us. And I tell you, if we would receive the word of God in such a way as it would be when we would see the Lord before us and would hear him speak, if we would receive his word with the same respect, in the same reverence, as if we would hear him personally speak, what kind of effects would there be in our inside? What would go on in you and in me if the Lord could stand here in my stead and speak to us? Let us just imagine this. And now I must tell you that on his word, nothing has changed at all, and nothing can change. Whether he said it through the prophets or through the apostles, whether it is written in the Old or in the New Testament, the Spirit of God was sent to make the Word of God alive when it is preached, in the same way as it was then when it came forth from the mouth of God. And then it has the same impact, the same effect. And we experience that God can testify that he is present. Paul has also said in 2 Corinthians similar things, that he didn't come with words of wisdom, but with the power of the Spirit, presenting the word to the people. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, here these hints are given once again very clearly. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 3. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. While the word was read, written down on paper, and then delivered and brought to the people, the Spirit of God was writing it into the hearts of the people who believed the word. It was inside and can no more be taken from it, written by the Spirit of God. This written word was originally the spoken living word, and in the moment where it is brought by the preaching, everything comes to life again, because the Spirit takes then the word and writes it into the hearts of them who believe it. And therefore it says, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tablets of stone, but in fleshy tablets of the heart. Beloved, if this could happen with all of us, that every promise of God could be written by the Spirit in your heart, in my heart, that here is written in us the same what is written here in this book by the same Spirit of God who rested upon the prophets and apostles, then the same results, the same things must take place by the same word. And it is written in the Gospel of John in chapter 1 of our Lord that everything came to existence through him, namely through the word. And without him, nothing came of all what was spoken into existence. God does everything according to his word. And therefore, the necessity was given to bring his word to his people before he can reveal himself amongst his own. The divine message must be presented. It must be believed. And then God starts to work. Then comes the life of God. Not the things which we make up by rhythm, by music, and a bit atmosphere. No, we need a rushing from heaven. It must come from the throne of God, if it shall bring us back to the throne of God. And this is the precious thing on the word of God. The Lord says, the word which has come forth from my mouth will not return void unto me, but will accomplish for what God has sent it for. But time and again, whether in the Old or in the New Testament, there were problems and difficulties among the people of God. Then came a standstill. Then came emergency situations. But God has always dealt with every need and with every situation, whatever may have been. If one then reads on, one sees that the Lord has won the victory in his people. If we may briefly come back to last night and maybe read here in Moses and in Chronicles, probably firstly in Chronicles, we have seen of what it was all about. 1 Chronicles 13, we read yesterday. Today, I would like to read one verse from 1 Chronicles chapter 12. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 18. Here it says, then the Spirit came upon Amasai, who was chief of the captains, and he said, thine are we, David, and on thy side, thou son of Jesse. Peace, peace be unto thee, and peace be to thine helpers. For thy God helpeth thee. Then David received them, and made them captains of the band. What was it? People came who didn't belong to this tribe or people, but in their hearts they knew that God made a decision, and it was in them to have part in that, what God would do, and full of enthusiasm, they cried out, we are thine, David. Oh, that we, who we come from the nations and who originally don't belong to the people of Israel, that we could say to the Son of David, our Lord, we are thine, O Lord. We have come to be on your side. Thou Son of David, peace be unto you. We know all these shadow images and prophetic statements or meanings of the Old Testament point to the reality in the New Testament. What a comfort must this have been for David, who went through such deep valleys, misjudged and cast out by his own people, rejected, and there people come and stand on his side and say, we are on your side. They recognized that God called him, that God blessed him, that God used him. We are thine, David. Oh, say it in your heart and mean it. Lord, my Savior, you Son of David, I'm yours for time and for eternity. You can count with me. Here am I. Take me as I am. And then something will happen in us. Here it says, peace be unto you, and peace to them who are on your side. For thy God helpeth thee. Oh, beloved, our God is an almighty God, and his help is all-embracing. And if we can believe it, then our help will not come from the mountains to which we could lift up our heads. We look also over the highest mountains to him who made them. For our help comes from that God who created heaven and earth. And this proves his majesty, his power, his almightiness. His are we, O David. And we are on your side. Son of Jesse, peace be unto thee, and peace unto them who are on your side. For thy God helpeth thee. I want to be such a man who could say, my God helped me. Beloved, and if he helps us, then we are helped. And if he blesses us, then we are blessed. And if he reveals himself to us, then he has revealed himself to us. Then nobody can take it away from us anymore. For thy God helpeth thee. Then David received them and made them captains of the band. Beloved, in this spiritual battle, we can only stand with one another and not against one another. The enemy is defeated. He just keeps making attempts. But we can only persist in this spiritual battle if we stand to the Lord and to one another, that not one stops the other, but that we encourage one another. If somebody has to fight in the front line, that we sometimes come to him and say, listen, you can count with us. We stand in prayer behind you. May God grant peace and victory. For when God gives peace and victory, then of course not just for one, but for all his people. And that's what it's all about. We also touched upon this thought yesterday, that at the time of Saul, there was no use for the Ark of the Covenant. They didn't care about it. But then came a man after the heart of God, and with this man came the desire back to return the Ark of the Covenant to the people of God. Here in Numbers we read yesterday, and I would like to read from Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16, it's the introduction to that, what later on is written in chapter 17. Here it says, Numbers 16, second part from verse 5. Even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him, even him whom he has chosen will he cause to come near unto him. What a wonderful word. When I read this earlier today, I made a note on the side, Lord, today. Not tomorrow, but today. Here it's written, tomorrow the Lord will show. Seen from yesterday, the tomorrow would be today. And I said to myself, O Lord, let it be today. Today, if we hear your voice, today, if we believe you, and your word falls as a divine promise into our heart, then confirm your word today. Let me take the liberty and exchange this word tomorrow with the word today. By this, we will not break the scripture. We just visualize that God is not a God of the future, but of the presence. And today we are gathered before him. I just read, today the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him, even him whom he has chosen will he cause to come near unto him. It is written, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. And it is written, He who seeks me with all his heart, of him I will let myself be found. God has people on earth who can come nigh to him. Under the shed blood of the Lamb, as reconciled ones, as redeemed ones, as those who are joined with God, and as such we may be gathered here today. Today it shall be manifested who is his, who is consecrated to him, who is his possession, and as it says here, whom he has chosen, him will he cause to come near to him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Paul writes, ye know that you are part of the elect. And if we believe that God not only called us, but that he has chosen us, let us believe that we then also can come nigh to him. Can we believe this? Beloved, we must wake up. We must go along with the word of God. The Spirit of God must be able to write the words which we read from this holy book of God are words of God. And the Spirit of God wants to write them into the hearts of the believers, that we not only ponder on them in our heads or mouths, but that they are engraved in our hearts, and thus knowing that God watches over his word to fulfill it. And if this word was not only written here or printed, but that by the Spirit of God was written in your heart, and then God watches over it, will it then not find fulfillment in your and in my life? Is God not the eternal truth? Has his word become obsolete? Is his covenant no more valid? Far from it. Our God is true in all his words and just in all his doings. Today or tomorrow, whatever we may read here, there the Lord will show who is his. Oh, that he could show it today. And as Brother Branham says in one sermon, whoever believes that the reconciliation and the redemption happened through the blood of the Lamb, he will get the answer from God by the Holy Spirit. Not your and not my answer, but the divine answer to the divine work. Human things have no room in the kingdom of God at all, but only the divine. Tomorrow the Lord will show who is his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Oh, that God permits me today to come near to him, that he permits it to you, that we all, by faith, come near to God. But as we will just see now, it must happen in the right attitude. On the next day, there was a number who came nigh to God, but with the wrong attitude in their heart. They took the incense and they brought it before God, but in the rebellion against servants of God. And already God spoke the verdict. God doesn't participate in that. There's no possibility to come into the presence of God being against each other, but only being for and with one another we can come into the presence of God. Let me read what then happened on the next day. And this word will shock you just as the one of last night. Numbers chapter 16. Here we read verse 19. Numbers 16, verse 19. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Just imagine this. He dared to gather all the congregation at the door of the tabernacle against Moses and against Aaron. That's not how it works. Every gathering in the presence of God is doomed to fail and will be judged by God if it happens against the servants of God. I read once again so that we understand the context. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the congregation, saying, Get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Datan and Abiram. This was the divine answer. On one hand, they dared, without the command of the Lord, to gather the congregation at the door of the tabernacle against Moses and against Aaron. But these two fell already here on their faces and prayed to God with the words, O God, Lord over death and life. Also here we see the right attitude, no discussion, no debates, but a prayer in the presence of God. The church was pulled away. They came together, but against Moses and against Aaron. What good is a gathering if it's directed against somebody? Shall God manifest himself there? Shall he answer there? No, it doesn't work like that. If we come together in the presence of God, then for God, for one another, with God, with one another, only in this way he can reveal himself to us. O God, you the Lord over life and death of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? No, God cannot be wroth. He tempers justice with mercy. And he reveals himself to the church because he called her out, leading her out, and done so many things on her. But the command was given here, and this is not without any meaning. Here it says in verse 23, And the Lord commanded unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the congregation, saying, Get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Datan and Abiram. What was it? Not the church was guilty, but those who wanted to be something, who accused Moses and said, Are you alone here? Are we not all here? Have we not the same right to do something? Yes. If God commands it, yes. But if God does not command it, what shall then be? When will we learn it to understand that in the kingdom of God all the confusion must end and that the divine order has to find its place, and this shortly, before God can really manifest himself in all his glory and power? Here the Lord commanded Moses, command the church. Today somebody would say, who gives you the right to it? God said it here himself and commanded Moses and said that all get up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Datan and Abiram. What was it? The influence which came forth from there was for the harm of all the church, and God could not permit that his church, whom he has led out with a mighty hand, is now destroyed under this influence. And therefore he commanded to all the church by Moses, get away from it. Have nothing to do with those who brought this unrest. Here we read on in verse 26. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. A hard word, a serious word. But I didn't say it, and Moses also not. The Lord commanded it. He cannot just watch how everything is tossed to and fro. Here, it was even said and commanded, depart, I pray you, from the tents. The word I pray you, the emphasis, the insistence, depart from the tents of these wicked men. Were they wicked? From our point of view, most certainly not. They were part of the people of God. They had leading positions. They were elders. They were also speaking. They had rights, but they had also duties. Every man who has rights has also duties. And the duty before God is therein to remain within the limits of that what God said. And what is not our office, there the word of God writes, we shall not meddle with. Depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men. They were not wicked. They had the incense in their hands. They went to the altar. They put coals in it. They called the people together at the door of the tabernacle. They didn't call them into the world, but to the door of the tabernacle. I tell you, the wickedness in the world is not so bad for the church as the wickedness of such men who loosened themselves from God and who want to make own things in the kingdom of God. This is the dangerous wickedness, not the one in the world, but that within the church of the living God. Here, the instructions were given, and it is written, all scripture is given by God and profitable for teaching and of all what goes with it, so that the man of God be made perfect, furnished unto all good works. And touch nothing of theirs. May all take this to heart in these days. We received God's holy word in purity. And I say here today, crystal clear, and as it is written itself in the Holy Scripture, 7 times purified. Nobody needs to purify anymore and to sift. God's word is clear, crystal clear. All unclarities are only in the heads and in the hearts of the people. But always, some are used to do the one or the other. Just as God uses men in the church, and as it is written, God has set into the church apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. For what? So that the church is edified, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 11. But then Paul writes that many crept in, bringing in damnable heresies. Either we are creeping in or we were set. And if we are set, then God knows it. And then the people of God knows it. Then one doesn't need secret paths. Then one can proclaim openly and freely and say what God has said. And this still applies for this time. Oh, how great are the lessons from the Word of God. How much clarity comes from the Holy Scripture. Hallelujah. Be to our God and Lord for His precious and holy Word. Our God is a great God, a wonderful God, an almighty God. And as Moses and Aaron did, they stepped into the breach. But then God spoke the verdict, and the church was helped again. So we also want to trust the Lord, knowing He will manifest Himself. One verse still, from Numbers 17, verse 4. And thou shalt lay them up in the tabernacle of the congregation before the testimony, where I will meet with you. Moses brought the matter by which the decision should be brought about before the Lord, before the Ark of the Covenant, to the door of the tabernacle. Beloved, also we can only do the same. We can make no decision. We cannot speak any verdict. Each one of us must submit to the verdict of God. There's only one who is lawgiver and judge. But may God give us one thing, the clear discernment, where people are called together at the door of the tabernacle to hear the word of God, joined with God and joined with one another. Who can say, as these men said to David at the time, "We are thine, David, and we are on your side, son of Jesse. Peace be unto you, and peace to them who are on your side. For thy God helpeth thee." Then David received them and made them captains of armies. So, men who gather around the men of God, around brothers who were set by the Lord to carry His word. This we need in this time more than ever before. The great battle is in full swing. But the word which we heard, the promises which we received, they are written down. May now the time come in which we no more hear all these words of God with our intellect, but prayerfully believing them with an inner agreement that we all go with it, that the Spirit of God could write in our hearts unhindered, line by line, promise by promise, everything what is written. And I say it once again, when the Spirit of God can write like this under the preaching, where the word is quickened to us, should he then not watch over his word to confirm it? But then it's not only written here, not only here, then it's written here in the heart. And then he watches over you and over me, because his word is in you and in me, to confirm his word on you, in you, and through you. This is this personal connection and relationship with God. Who were the men with whom God made history? Have they heard the word of promise only with the ears? Or have they carried it in their hearts and then experienced it? We could mention now many examples of Abraham up to Mary and all them who carried God's word of promise in their hearts. And they saw the day of God, on which every word which the Lord has spoken was fulfilled. At that time, they didn't have a Bible yet. They could not read, not write, but they could hear, they could believe, they could wait. They agreed with God. And then it happened. Beloved, we can all read well. We can hear so well. Perhaps we can even speak better. But where are the people who hear God's word and wait, who have a relationship with God, who hear it, who believe it, who receive it, and who have the connection with God? And the Spirit of God writes and writes and writes until every word for this time is written in your and in my heart. And then God will have to fulfill it in its fullness. But not if it's only written here. It must be written here through the Spirit. At that time Paul writes, ye are an epistle of Christ written by the Spirit of God. Oh, that God could give it to us. That in these last days a church could come forth in which the Word of God not only is written here, this Bible all denominations have, all churches, but the church of the Lord has the word in the heart, written by the Holy Spirit, who inspired this word and has given it. This is the message of God. Oh, don't let it bypass you. This is the speaking of the Lord, not to our heads, but to our hearts. There it shall be written from today on, that God could make this day a day which brings a turnaround, so that he can manifest himself. Please pardon me. The coming of the Lord is so near. We have his word, and discuss about it, speak about it, and argue about it. Where and when it will be written in the heart, that God could watch over it, to bring it to fulfillment. That's what's all about in this time. May the Lord help us by grace and with us, all of his people, all over the earth. And he alone can bring the decision and say, there's my people. They have received my word. They were still and waited. They believed. They were gathered at the door of the tabernacle. Not against someone, but under the sound of the word. And the Spirit can write so that in us can be carried what is written here, so that the Lord can manifest himself. Beloved, may God give it to us. It's so serious. What good is the written word for us if it cannot be written here in the heart by the Holy Spirit? May the Lord give it to me. May he give it to all of us by grace. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. Oh Lord, we thank you with all our hearts for your grace. We praise you. God, we praise you, for nigh is unto us your presence. Your wonderful deeds proclaim thee, O Lord. How should we not hearken to that what you speak to us? Lord, the time will come where you will hold a just judgment, Lord, where everything will be manifest, what is in our hearts and in our thoughts, when you spoke to us. O Lord, may our thoughts and our hearts be turned to you in this hour, on this morning, O Lord, for you addressed your word in a clear way to all of us. O Lord, the moment comes, the time comes, where you will hold a just judgment. Today it's still the time of grace. Today we may still come to you, Lord, because you speak to us by your grace in words of love, Lord. You address us, O God, and you want that we are helped, that we come to you just as we are, Lord. We cannot help ourselves, but you want to help us, Lord, when we bow before you, when we reject any judgment which is in us, O Lord, and that we make ourselves available to you and say, here we are, make out of us something according to your mind, not as we think, not as we want, but as you want it to be, O God. Do it within me, Lord. Make it with all of us, Lord, in this morning hour, Lord. Lord, it is so wonderfully written. We praise you. We praise you. For your name is nigh to us. Nigh is your salvation in this morning hour. Your wondrous deeds proclaim you, O Lord. Worship be to your name. Hallelujah. And you say, when I think the time is come, then I hold just judgment, Lord. We have seen it in your word, Lord, that the time was come in those days where you judged rightly, Lord, with them, Lord, who rebelled against you and against your servants and against your plans. Faithful God, you didn't change. We believe your word, Lord, that the time will come, Lord, where you will judge injustice, Lord. But your people, may your people hear. We want to believe you, Lord. We want to open ourselves to you this morning. Be merciful to us, as it was prayed already, and help us, Lord. Give grace that all these words are written in our hearts, O God, that nobody can blot them out anymore, but that they are written down and that they remain in us. Praise, honor, and glory and worship be to your wonderful name. Amen.